Well, good morning. It is great to see you this morning. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. My family and I, we went up to the Texas Panhandle, and we ended up having a little bit of a snowball fight. So our kids were excited and happy about that, and it melted very quickly. So I'm very excited about that as well. So it was a good time. We had a good time seeing my family. My brothers came in, aunts and uncles, grandparents, and so we had a really good time. And if you didn't have family in or friends, hopefully you ate a lot. And you feel really good now, right? And you feel like, okay, maybe we need to start thinking about the next New Year's resolutions and what we're going to be doing. But that's another day, another dollar, right? If you have your Bibles, John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 1. There are not very many things in life that have guarantees. We want guarantees. We want if you buy a new product, you want a 90-day guarantee that it's going to work, right? You buy a new car, you expect that there would be a 100,000-mile warranty. You want warranties. We want guarantees. We live in a day and age in which we want things to be dependable, but the problem is there's not very many things that are dependable. It's hard to find something that's consistently dependable. We want that word. We want to teach our kids to be dependable. We want them to be men and women to grow up to be men and women who are dependable, and we want things that are dependable. Now, I read a story from Monty Newton as he was explaining and talking to his grandfather, who is 90 years old. They were talking about this word dependable and depends. And his granddad said, one of the hardest things about getting older is that you actually have to wear these diapers. And he said, the problem's not really necessary with the diapers. He said, it's just what it's called. He said, I don't want to wear something that says, it depends. He said, if I'm going to have to wear this diaper, I want to wear something that's actually a sure thing. It's a sure bet. And so anyway, as we talk about dependable, now I'm just helping some of you out. You know that's a reality for some as they get near a little bit older, but dependable. We talked about this past week on Friday, we had a time in which we, as a family, we celebrated Christmas because we were with all the family. And so at Christmas time, we're going to go actually spend time with Jamie's family up in Oklahoma. And so we spent time on Friday and we had Christmas and we opened up presents and we started working through all the different gifts and all the different things. And it was a lot of fun. It was a good time. And when we come to this time of the year, when we celebrate as Christians, it's a beautiful time. We can have the gifts, we can have the trees, we can have Santa Claus, we can have all these different things. But as a Christian, we do celebrate the fact that Jesus, God, came to this earth. It's the Advent. We used the word a minute ago when we lit a candle, we called it the Advent. Advent simply means the coming. And it's a time in which we celebrate the coming of our Savior, the coming of God in the flesh. It is a beautiful time because it also reminds us that there will actually be a second coming in which Jesus will return again. There will be a second advent in which we celebrate and we remember now that Jesus came as a baby and in the future he's coming again. And as we get started today, here's the question that we have to start working through. Who are we celebrating? What is it that we're celebrating? And as Christians, we need a reminder consistently to remember that, yes, we see all the fun things of Christmas, and I love Christmas time. I love decorating. We decorated before we left for Thanksgiving. So my house has already been decorated for over a week. We love the Christmas season. And as we decorate and as we celebrate and as we go through the hustle and bustle, and even going through Black Friday, how many of you braved Black Friday? Yes, raise your hand. Raise it high, be proud. There you go. How many of you said, no way, I'm not shopping? Yes? All right, very good. That's even more than that. I went out shopping. It was a lot of fun. I was at, actually, for fun, because I was with my brothers, and so we just needed a fun experience. We left on Thursday evening. We went out for Friday, and there's a hum. Do you hear the hum? Feels like I'm about to launch or take off. Maybe there's a trap door or something. I don't know, but anyway, we went out on Friday night and we went to, thank you, you got it. We went out on Friday and so we got in line and we pushed carts and pushed people and ran into people and it was a lot of fun. We had a good time and what's fun is I'm the smallest of my brothers and so although I'm the oldest, I'm the smallest and so I get to pick on them and push them out in front of people and then watch them have to take care of their problem. We had a good time and so we got out there and had a lot of fun. And now we come back to this celebration. We know as Christians, we know the celebration is about Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate. We know the cliches. Jesus is the reason for the season. And what we want to do today is this. We start a new series called Let There Be Light. And the reason we're looking at John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 1, I want to walk us through the introduction to who Jesus is. John is a disciple who was an eyewitness. He spent time with Jesus. He was the youngest of all the disciples. And as he spent time with Jesus, he comes back and he wants to introduce us to him. John is a beautiful written book. If you've never read the Gospels, or maybe you're trying to figure out where to start your Bible reading, I would encourage you, the book of John is a fantastic place to start because it introduces you to Jesus, the stories, but it's written in such a way that you can grasp it and you can understand it. It's a fantastic book, and John introduces us to Jesus. And today, that's what I want to do, is I want to make sure we remember as believers, as Christians, the reason for why we celebrate. And so if you have your Bibles now opened, I'm going to ask now that you would stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 1 is where we're going, John chapter 1. And the words say this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your love and your goodness. I am so amazed by how gracious you are. Again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for a week in which we were able to spend, maybe with some time off, eating food, celebrating with friends and family. God, I just pray that now as we enter this time, I pray that you would speak into our lives. God, we want to hear from you. Our words that we've just sung, I pray that it's been a sweet sound to you. And now, Father, I pray that you would have freedom. I pray your Holy Spirit would have freedom in this place to move and to work in our lives. Give us ears to hear so that, God, we'd hear exactly what you want us to hear. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me power to speak the words that you would have me to speak so that we walk out of here knowing that we've heard from you. And all this we pray in Jesus' precious, precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, John chapter 1. John's going to introduce us to a few key thoughts. In these first three verses, that's all we're going to spend time on today, is the first three verses. John moves us into, and he gives us such deep theological truths that quite often we just read this, and maybe we've committed these verses to memory, but maybe sometimes we just need to stop to pause to reflect. And so that's what we need to do today, to remember who Jesus is. John introduces us, and he says, in the beginning. Let's just stop right there. In the beginning. What do you mean, in the beginning? What does that mean? Before there was time, in the beginning. Before there was anything that was ever created. Before anything, in the beginning. What do you mean, in the beginning? In the beginning? In our minds, it's hard to think outside of time, isn't it? Everything that we do is driven by time. We look at our watches. We have to get up at a certain time. We need to get our kids to bed at a certain time. We have to get to work at a certain time. We have to get to school at a certain time. Practice. Everything is driven by time. So it's hard to imagine a being, a person, someone who's outside of time, but this is in the beginning. And John wants to make sure you understand that there was no time before this, in the beginning, before there was anything, in the beginning. Eternal, eternity past, eternity future, before anything that you even understand or know, in the beginning was what? Do you see? He uses a word that's a phrase. He says the Word. Look at the way it's written. In our English Bibles, it's actually written in a way that it signifies that this is more than just a common usage of a word. It's actually a proper noun. It's the name of someone. It says, in the beginning was the Word. So here's the question. Who is the Word? If you've been around church, you kind of automatically jump to the answer. And we just automatically assume it, don't we? But here's what I want to make sure we understand. When we look at the Word of God, when we look at the Bible, when we look at Scripture, more than anything else, we have to be careful not to just put our own opinion into the text. We want the text to always be teaching us and showing us who it is. And so as you begin to read, you begin to read down into verse 4, you find that the Word was what? The light. We're going to be introduced to the light next week, and we'll talk about that next week. And then it says the light can't comprehend it. The darkness can't comprehend it. And then you move on down, and you go all the way down to verse 14. And then he says this phrase, John introduces us to something amazing. He says, just in case you're not for sure who the proper noun, this person is, I want to make sure I introduce you to the Word. And here's the Word. You ready? Verse 14. It says, and the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Don't be confused, verse 15. He says, it's not John the Baptist. The one I am talking about, the Word, is actually Jesus Christ. Jesus. Now, here's what's fascinating to me, is John as a disciple, he has spent 3 years with Jesus. He's the youngest of all the disciples. He spent time with Jesus. He watched the miracles. He watched the feeding. He's watched Jesus walk on water. He's watched Jesus raise people from the dead. He's watched Jesus die on the cross. He's watched Jesus be buried. He saw Jesus after he rose again. And he even saw Jesus ascend into the heavens. And what he wants to make sure that took him 3 years to fully understand, he wants you to understand at the very beginning of his book that Jesus is not just some ordinary man. He was from eternity past, the very Word of God. He wants to introduce you, he wants to introduce me, that Jesus is not just some average person, but he is actually the Word of God. I find it fascinating because John spends the entire book reiterating and tying together and bridging the gap so that you and I understand who he is. And then he ties it together in the book of Revelation, which he also wrote. The book of Revelation is kind of the end cap. It's the very end, the last revelation ever fully received from God to man to tell us about how the world will end. And how that God is still present and God is still in control even when the world ends. And that God has a plan for a new heaven and a new earth. And John writes it and he ties it all together. Let me just read you a few of the passages I found. You see, John wants you to see right here in the very first, he says he is the Word. And he begins to tie together in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus teaches his disciples. He says, if you abide in my Word, abide in my Word. You are truly my disciples. Why is that important? Because a couple chapters later, John chapter 14, Jesus now tells his disciples, verse 6, I am the truth and I am the life. He makes sure the disciples begin to understand, you abide in my Word, I am truth, I am life. You go to chapter 15, John chapter 15 and verse 7. Now Jesus says this, abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. Earlier in John, he said what? Abide in my Word. He says, I am truth, I am life. And now he says, you are to abide in me. And he continues to build the bridge. And Jesus then, in John chapter 18, verse 37, says that Jesus came to bear witness to this truth overall. Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes back, he's coming back. The worlds have assembled. Satan, the Antichrist, the worlds have assembled to actually rise up and try to defeat God Almighty. And John gives us this picture in Revelation 19 of Jesus coming back on a white horse. And as he comes back on a white horse, here's what it says. Revelation 19, verse 13, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. This is not the blood of humans. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Because this is the blood that actually bought and purchased your salvation and mine. Because on the cross, Jesus spilt his blood, and it's the only blood that actually is sufficient enough to pay the ransom that you are owed for your sin and my sin. And on him, this robe, Jesus comes back. It has the blood that says, I am the payment. I am the full payment. I have purchased, and I can purchase, and I have power over sin, death, Satan, hell, the grave. And he comes back, and now it says this, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God. Why is this so important? Because he is the Word of God actually coming. And John is trying to bridge the gap, and he's wanting to make sure you understand that this one that we're celebrating, this one he's introducing us to, he is the Word of God. So everything that he spoke, everything that he did, every miracle that he ever performed, every act was actually not just some human act, but it was actually the Word of God living and breathing. He gives us a simple phrase, and I'm amazed by the phrase, because he could have chose some great theological term, couldn't he? But instead, he just says, the Word. Something tangible, something understandable, something that you and I can actually grasp. He is the very Word of God in the flesh. And in Revelation, the same chapter, chapter 19 and verse 15, he actually ties it together, and he says, when Jesus comes back, when he looks around and he begins to speak, it says that from his mouth comes a sharp sword. Why is that important? Because what he wants to make sure you understand is this, that in the very spoken Word of God, the Word who's actually living, breathing, the one who actually put the flesh on of humans, when he speaks, although Satan, the Antichrist, and all the world's powers will come at him, they can try to shoot their bazookas, their tanks, they can shoot anything, any other missiles, whatever they have. All he has to simply do is speak. And when he speaks, the sword comes out and it defeats all the enemies of God. Why? Because he is the Word of God. And John wants to make sure we see very clearly he is eternity past. He's also the very words of God. And I'm going to tie it together a little bit more in just a second, but John continues here. And in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And now watch what he does. He's going to introduce us to a concept that baffles the human mind. When you hear the word Trinity, it baffles the mind, doesn't it? And you're saying, wait a minute, I'm not really for sure I can depend on this God. I'm not for sure I can depend on somebody who's so mysterious and so, it just doesn't make sense. He's the Word, but yes, what does that really mean? What is the Word? I look back I just spent some time with my grandparents. And in their generation, when a man gave his word, it was a contract. It was done. It was a done deal. And quite often he did so many of those. It's just a word of mouth. It's a handshake. It's the done deal. And I began to long for, what is that dependability? Where do we find it? And John is trying to bridge the gap. It's the Word. When God has spoken, it's the Word that can be depended on because it is from God. It is God. Here it is. We look for dependability. We want it. We long for it. We search for it. We ask for it in our own lives. We ask for it from our spouses. We ask for it from our kids. We look for people with dependability. There was a little boy who was out at the beach, and out at the beach, he runs up to a lady and he asks her, ma'am, do you go to church? Stunned, she's at the beach. What kind of question is that? I'm at the beach. Do I go to church? Yes, I go to church. And the little boy continues. He asks another question. He goes, ma'am, do you go to Sunday school? She kind of laughs. I'm at the beach. Yes, I go to Sunday school trying to figure out, where is this boy going? What is he doing? And then he asks another question. Do you pray? She says, yes, I pray. And then he puts his hand out and he drops money into her lap. He says, can you hold my money while I go swimming? We look for dependability, don't we? We want it. Smart young man. He understood, hey, if they go to church, they pray, hopefully they're dependable. We want people to be dependable. And here's what I want to say. You ready? As we celebrate Christmas, as we go into this time, we have a God who was before all time. He's never failed in the past. And then you move into this place in this moment now. He is the Word of God. He is truth. He is light. He is life. He is the very words of God. He is dependable. You can depend upon him. And now John moves us to this next phrase, and he says this. Not only is he the Word of God, he is God. Look what it says. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Holy cow. And in the beginning, what's it say? It was with God. So now John drops a major bomb on us. Explosion all around. Our minds begin to, what is happening here? It's hard to define the Trinity. Isn't it frustrating sometimes you talk about the Trinity and you say, yeah, Jesus is God. Well, I thought you said God is God. Yeah, I did. What about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he's God too. And now we have all these confusion and we're trying to figure it out. And John simplifies it all and he says, okay, he's the Word. He's the Word and he is very God himself. In the beginning, he was. In the beginning, he is. He still is. He is God himself. Why this is important is because you begin to look all the way back into history. The Arians in the 4th century, they began to use a phrase that Jesus, there was a time that he was not. They began to teach this heresy that there was a time when Jesus was not. And John begins to clarify and he makes it very clear for you and I that there was never a time that Jesus was not, for he was for all time in the past, that he was in the beginning. He was God. He is God. Before nothing else existed, he existed. Even Jehovah's Witnesses, maybe you've had them come by your house and knock on your door, and maybe you've invited them in just for fun and you wanted to ask questions. I know some of you. You just want to interact and then, you know, we're just going to have a little bit of fun. And so even the Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll use this phrase, and Muslims, they'll use this phrase right here. And it says that he was not God. Matter of fact, they'll look at this phrase and they'll say, you see where it says that, and the Word was God and he was in the beginning with God. You see where it says, and the Word was God? You see that? That's actually a mistranslation. You have the wrong, it's mistranslated. It should actually say, and the Word was a God. And Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims and others will begin to say, Jesus was a God, yes, but he's not the God. Let me help you. Are you ready? That's not a mistranslation. It's exactly how it's said in the Greek. It's exactly how it's been translated for thousands of years. This is exactly the way John wrote it, that he was in the beginning, and make no mistake about it, he is God. And here's why this is so important. Because as we begin to celebrate, quite often at Christmas time, we want to celebrate. And the way we celebrate is we actually put Jesus in a manger, right? We celebrate the arrival of God in the flesh. And so we have this little baby and we have a manger scene and they're cute and cuddly and we just love them and we put them all around. And we have them at our house. So don't worry about your willow tree or whatever else you like to put around your house. I like them, but here's where we get in danger. Is that we think that Jesus actually started there in Bethlehem. And here's where we want to be very clear. You ready? The reason we are able to celebrate is not because Jesus started in Bethlehem, but he started never in the past. He always was. He always was. And because he always was, what we celebrate is this. We celebrate that in a moment in time, in history, in a place, that God became flesh. He took on himself the form of man, and he actually entered into our world. And that's what we celebrate. But make no mistake about it. Jesus did not start in the manger. He started never. He started in the past, never, because he always was, because he is God himself. This begins to bring a whole new idea to the dependability, doesn't it? Can you trust Jesus? Is he dependable? Well, if he was in eternity past, yes. If he actually is the Word of God, can you trust him? Yes, he's dependable. Can you trust God? Yes. Because he never lies, he's always faithful. And John makes sure that we understand what took him 3 years of walking with Jesus, what took him 3 years of watching and understanding. He wants to start the book off with clarity, crystal clarity. The one that he spent time with, the one who rose again, all the stories that you're about to read, this is the word of God in flesh. Now watch what he does now. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, that'll mess with your mind. Think about that for a minute, right? It starts working on you, and you're going, wait a minute. Okay, so Jesus was in the past. He is God. He was in eternity past. Now, watch this. And everything, all that was made by him. What do you mean, all? The Greek word for all means all. Everything, every human life form. Everything, every plant, you begin to work through creation. Now, watch. Here's where John's tying it together. How did God create? Do you remember? He created by speaking. And what he did is this. He said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, there was light in the darkness. Before there was anything, there was no major explosion. God just spoke and there, boom, there's light. And then he begins to speak and he says, let there be stars, boom. And millions and billions and trillions of stars just appear. And he begins to speak. So here's what John's doing. He's tying it together. He says, okay, God was present at the very beginning. He was present way before time. And this word that I've just introduced you to, he is the one who actually was in the beginning. He was creating it all. And so as he spoke, let there be trees, plants. It's the word of God being spoken. He's demonstrating that Jesus was in the very beginning creating. Why is this important? Because again, our Jehovah's Witness friends and some others will actually say that, oh, well, just so you're clear, you remember Paul, he actually says that Jesus is the first of all creation. Do you remember that? Well, what Paul is really, truly saying is this, that Jesus is the one who created it all. He is the first because he oversaw, because he is the one who created it all. He is not saying, Paul is not teaching that Jesus was created. And what Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims and others will like to say is this, that Jesus was created and he was the first of all creation. That in the beginning, that God created Jesus first. And what John is making it clear, did you see this? All things were created by him. It was him who spoke and it was him who made. So when you see the world's created, it's him who spoke it into being. All the fascination, all the amazement. This baby that we celebrate coming to the earth, can you imagine the power that was setting in that crib? Can you imagine Mary holding that precious child? It's amazing, isn't it? That he's the one who actually spoke it into being, the word of God, creating it all. I read a story of Apollo the 8th. On December 24th, 1968, they were circling around the moon. All eyes were glued to the television because it was the first lunar trip. And as they went around, they broadcast to the world. The world was watching and listening. It was an amazing time, December 24th. The crew of Apollo began to broadcast. You can actually go on YouTube and hear the broadcast live if you would like. There's several documentaries on it as well. But here's the message. You ready? It says, we are now approaching the lunar sunrise. And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. They continued reading through the first 10 verses of Genesis chapter 1. And as they closed, they, quote, said, "And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, and a Merry Christmas. And God bless all of you on the good earth." Mission Control went into tears. The world was stunned to have the words that was spoken in the very beginning, spoken now in outer space. It's amazing. Can you depend on God? The reason we celebrate today, the reason we celebrate this month is that we have a God who came in the flesh. You can depend on him because he was eternity past. He will be eternity future. He is God, very God. He is the creator in this place. See, what John wants to do for us is he wants to expand our vision that that's just not an ordinary baby. That's not just something we just go through the motions with. That's God coming to bring salvation to you and me. There was a man named Tony Campolo who was, he defends and he speaks about Christianity and speaks about the Bible. And he was once confronted by one of his students, an atheist, who the young man said, "I just can't believe." He says, "For me to believe in a God, I have to have a God that I can understand." Maybe some of you are here like that today. You just need a God that you can understand. And here's Tony Campolo's reply. He says, "God refuses to be that small. God refuses to be so small that you can't comprehend." But here's what John does for us in just three verses. He brings the simplicity so that you can actually understand who this God is. That he loves you, and he loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to come to the earth as a baby, to grow up, to live the life of a human, so that you can never point at God and say, "God, you don't understand what I've gone through." He does. He sees all your pain, all your suffering, and he even had his son come to this earth, who is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And as he came, he felt the pains, the temptations, the struggles of life, the struggles of loss, the struggles of betrayal, everything that you've touched, everything that you've experienced in your humanity. Jesus came and he experienced it all, yet without sin. And on the cross, Jesus died to purchase you and I salvation. He rose again, proving that he could pay for your sin. And today, what we celebrate is this, that God brought salvation to us. This grand God loves you, loves me, and that's what we get to celebrate, that he offered us salvation. And if you have not trusted him as your personal Savior, can I please encourage you? This is the day. This is the day to say, "Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me for living my life the way I've been living. Forgive me for trying to do it on my own without the Creator in my life. Forgive me for that. Jesus, would you now be the Lord and Savior of my life? I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins." And if you would do that, the Bible says that there's salvation because of what Jesus did on the cross. And when you trust that, then the joy of this time of year is that you now get to celebrate with us who have what God has done. And then forevermore, you'll live with him. What an incredible place. What an incredible gift. The gift of salvation, because God is.